Well, this morning we're going to continue in Psalm 119, and we've got 16 more glorious verses here. And last time we began with, "Oh, how I love your law." And we had just an awful lot last time about love. Well, guess how we begin today and how we end today. Verse 113, I hate the double-minded, but I love your law. And as we have finished today, in 128, we read, "Therefore, all your precepts concerning all things I consider to be right, I hate." So we have a God of love, and we have a God of righteousness. And with a God of righteousness and justice, he cannot love sin, he must hate sin. So I was struck by these verses today on trying to quantify just a little bit in my mind. On one side of the scale is, how much do I love the Lord? And I think it's quite a bit, not much compared to what he's done for me, but I love him a lot. Now, how much do I hate my sin? Not how much do I hate your sin, how much do I hate my sin? And I don't think it's nearly enough. I don't think it's nearly enough. I think I have a lot more love on the scale than I do hatred on the scale for what he hates. And it's awfully easy just to say, oh, he's a God of love, he's a God of love, he's a God of love, and no matter what you do, he loves you. That's true. But he also hates sin. And we'll see today, for example, he says, "You reject all those who stray, for their deceit is falsehood. You put away all the wicked of the earth, like dross, like refuge." So let me read these 16 verses, and then we will go through them a little bit. We're in the Samach letter now. As you know, every one of these verses begins with a letter Samach in the word. "I hate the double-minded, but I love your law. You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. Depart from me, you evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according to your word, that I may live, and do not let me be ashamed of my hope. Hold me up, and I shall be safe, and I shall observe your statutes continually. You reject all those who stray from your statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. You put away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore, I love your testimonies. My flesh trembles for fear of you, and I am afraid of your judgments. I have done justice and righteousness. Do not leave me to my oppressors. Be surety or guarantee for your servant for good. Do not let the proud oppress me. My eyes fail from seeking your salvation and your righteous word. Deal with your servant according to your mercy and teach me your statutes. I am your servant. Give me understanding that I may know your testimonies. It is time for you to act, O Lord, for they have regarded your law as void. Therefore, I love your commandments more than gold, yes, than fine gold. Therefore, all your precepts concerning all things I consider to be right, I hate every false way. No matter what man says, he can't add to that, really, when we read his word. But verse 113, I hate the double-minded, but I love your law. We see the double-minded there means two-faced, two-minded. You go walk back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, but you're not really firm on either position. You're kind of in the middle of the road, and you're good for nothing, really. Now, do you hate the wrong side of the double-minded, and do you love the right side of the double-minded of the believer or of your belief? Yes, we love his law. We love his law. But how much are we hating the lackadaisicalness or the flip-flopping or hot and cold? And isn't it, when you spend time with the Lord in the Word, and it's so great, and you just never want to leave that. You've never had anything like that. And you just kind of, maybe, at least I do, man, I'm going to do this all day long. And in 10 minutes or 15 minutes from there, I've got thoughts that you wouldn't even never dream of. They're so bad. So that's kind of the way we are, aren't we? But he knows that. And so he says, you are my hiding place and my shield. So I put down there, is he in my life? Is he really my hiding place and my shield? And then the rest of that, I hope in your word. And do I? Do I hope in his word? I say I do, but is my life really reflecting that, that he is my hiding place and my shield, and I hope in his word? And then notice this separation from evil in your life here. It says, depart from me, you evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. And it seems to me like that verse tells me I cannot keep the commandments of my God if I'm fellowshipping with evil. So the next two verses here are hold me up or uphold me, lift me up, strengthen me. Uphold me according to your word that I may live, and do not let me be ashamed of my hope. Are you ever ashamed of his hope? No way, I'd never be ashamed of that. But how many times have I been silent when I'm around people who are starting to blaspheme the Lord, and I just don't do anything about it? Now, maybe I pray, that's good. But I think I should stand up a little bit and say, my hope. Oh, worship Jesus. He's the only one that died for your sin, the only one. There's no other. And he gives us his instruction in his word. And how many people have never opened the Bible at all, may have a dozen Bibles in their possession, but they don't even read it. Isn't that true of all of us too much, in a way? And then he says, hold me up, and I shall be safe. Do you recognize how safe you are in him? Doesn't he say that nothing can take me out of your hand, and then my Father is greater than I, and nothing can take anything out of his hand? We are so safe in him. Hold me up, and I shall be safe, and I shall observe your statutes continually. Oh, that I would do that. I want to do that, but I don't do that. Now we get to a couple of rejections here. Verse 118, you reject all those. All those. So you think anybody is getting by with something that you got to remind the Lord of how bad they are? Well, you can if you want, but he already knows. But he is going to reject all those who stray from your statutes for their deceit. That means living deceitfully, pretending to be really doing his word, but yet living the other way. You reject all those who stray from your statutes for their deceit. Is falsehood. You put away all of the wicked of the earth like dross. That's what you scoop off the top when you purify something that's just all waste and worthlessness. You put away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore, The result of that is what? I love your testimonies. When you think of that, doesn't that make you really clean up your act a little bit? I think it does. And then the next verse, my flesh trembles for fear of you. How much do you fear the Lord? I hope it's a lot, and I hope it's all the time. Now, this is deep reverential fear. This is respect. This is not fearing something bad that he's going to do to you just because he's bad. No, he is love. He only wants the best for you. But I don't think you can really stay completely away from sin. Well, maybe you never can, but you can't, in these bodies, you can't stay away from sin with anything to me as powerful as his fear. As his fear, and thinking what he's done for me, died on the cross for every one of my sins, and now I take them so casually. Oh, that wasn't a very big sin. I mean, it was just a little mistruth in that statement. Think of that. How could I do that? My flesh trembles for fear of you, and I'm afraid of your judgments. When we think of what hell is like, a little bit we can understand of it, wow, we should be afraid of that. Everybody should be so afraid of that, right? Maybe they can see that in us, in our life. I have done justice and righteousness. Do not leave me to my oppressors. The word done justice there is kind of another word for boldness. I've been bold with regard to doing what is right. I've done justice and righteousness. Do not leave me to my oppressors. And then this prayer, be my guarantee, be surety for your servant. For what? For good. Lord, guarantee my good. Lord, guarantee my following your word and living according to your word. And then don't let the proud oppress me. Don't let the proud oppress me. They make a lot of noise. They make their case very boldly, but it doesn't have anything to it, the proud. And then my eyes fail from seeking your salvation. I think that's primarily from reading his word. But I just can't get enough of it. My eyes fail from seeking your salvation and your righteous word. There it is, seeking your righteous word. And then the prayer, deal with your servant. You'll notice in this little stanzas here, there's three your servants, your servants, your servants. Does that fit you? Are you his servant? Deal with your servant. I love it. According to mercy, not according to justice, according to mercy. Deal with your servant according to your mercy and what? Teach me your statutes. Beautiful verse. And then the statement, I am your servant. And does that fit? I am your servant. Give me understanding that I may know your testimonies. How well do I know his testimonies? I can rattle off a bunch of verses, but is that really knowing his testimonies? I think to know is to do, right? I think there's got to be action involved in these things, not just brain knowledge. It is time for you to act, O Lord. Now, it's amazing this was written 3,000 years ago.
Yes.
Because most of us would say, that's for today. Well, it is for today, and it's been for every day, all time, right? Well, it's not like it wasn't then like it is now. Well, why did God tell us this 3,000 years ago, then, if it was all good back then? We read at times how many get wiped out, you know, that when Israel divided the kingdom after Rehoboam, they had this war, and I think 500,000 of them were killed. Can you imagine that? 500,000 out of, what, a few million? I mean, that would be like, in our nation, would be 150 million killed in a war. I think things were pretty bad at times back then too, right? But here it says, it is time for you to act, O Lord, and how true that is today, for they have regarded your law as void. Wow. Now we got two therefores. As a result of that, what are the two therefores? Well, first is the statement 127, therefore I love your commandments more than gold, yes, than fine gold. Now, think of the riches that are there in that statement. Now, if you were offered all the wealth in the world, whatever that is, I don't know, trillions and trillions and trillions or whatever the number is, I don't know, would you take it if there was a condition to it that you could never look at the Word of God again? What is your price, I guess, is another way of looking at that. But just think, oh yeah, give me all that money. Well, first of all, you wouldn't last very long with all that money because you couldn't handle it. No way you could handle it without being led by the Lord. You would destroy yourself in short order. But therefore, I love your commandments more than gold, yes, than fine gold. So every single believer is the richest one in the universe. Now, that's not what the world measures it by. The world measures it by dollars and all that stuff. And how much of that do you take with you when you die? You don't take anything with you. Nothing. And if you got all that money, you're not going to have much room for the Spirit and much room to be right with the Lord, because this is such a stumbling block. So pray for the rich. Pray for the rich. Pray for the healthy. I mean, we pray for the sick to be healed, don't we? How many times do you pray for healthy people versus the time for sick people? And yet, how many are going to hell today, healthy as they can be, and that's the end of it, if they've never turned to the Lord? And then the other, therefore, all your precepts concerning all things. That's two alls in seven words there, right? All your precepts concerning all things I consider to be right. Do you? Do you really consider to be right? Oh, yes, yes. Do you, really? And as a result of that, in conjunction with that, I hate every false way. Boy, oh boy, if you look at the news, I don't know what, that's so misnomer, there's no such thing as news anymore, right? But as you look at what's out there, everything pretty much out there is false way, isn't it? And doesn't it stir you up? I mean, I can't look at it very much, and I'm not going anywhere with this one, so I just turn it off. Therefore, all your precepts concerning all things I consider to be right, I hate every false way. Well, Father, we thank you for the richness of your teaching and of your word, and we could spend all day on any one of these verses and on all of them collectively. We could spend all week, I guess, but yet we get some input from each one of them. And Lord, the beautiful thing that you have allowed us to do is communicate with you, and the thing you want more in one way than anything else is our relationship with you, that total surrender and submission and yielding to you. And we thank you for Pentecost. We thank you for the Spirit being poured out on every believer. And Lord, we thank you that you have given us your Holy Spirit and can never be taken away from us by anything or anybody. And we have a few moments this morning, Lord, just as this little family, to pray. And would we listen to you to lift up the prayers which you would have us to pray. You want us to pray. I believe you want us to pray, but you want us to pray in accordance with your will. And we know anything in accordance with your will be done because you want it to be done, because you put it in our heart to bring it up. So as we have these moments here this morning, may we redeem these few moments together just by lifting up things that you give us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Let's pray. Well, as we come to the end today, kind of, let's just stand and sing this familiar praise song, 10,000 Reasons, and may we at least have a few reasons to praise him.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Worship his holy name. I worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy name. Your holy name. You're rich in love and you're slow to anger. Your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. So bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy name. Worship your holy name. Bless you, time has come. Still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore, forevermore. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship your holy name. Come on, bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy name. Worship your holy name, Lord, I worship your holy name.
Father, we thank you for meeting us here once again and your faithfulness, always faithful. As we leave this place, may we not leave you here. We know you'll be with us wherever we are, but may we represent you today. May we redeem this day, Lord. This may be our last day. This may be our last meeting here. We don't know. But one day it will be soon. Help us not to be wasting things. And Lord, even as we would maybe want to look at the news, even before we look at the news, may we review what news is there of my witness this last week or this last day. And Is there any news to report there that's really true news in terms of honoring you, blessing you? We can gather, and it's so easy to bless your name, and just help us to continually do that, Lord. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.